Get the very best that Steve Barkley has to offer while cutting out precious time and travel expenses. Working and learning online with Steve brings customized online coaching sessions to your team whenever and wherever it's convenient. Conquer key challenges in 60 to 90 minute sessions, personalize content to meet your unique goals or areas of focus, develop ideas into a concrete plan of action with small group discussions led by Steve. Visit BarkleyPD.com/online to learn more about working and learning online with Steve, including a special introductory experience for new customers. Help your team achieve more with working and learning online with Steve.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. From the pool to the classroom. Those of you who have listened to my podcast over time and have read some of my blogs know that I have a granddaughter who's a swimmer. And at age 10, she's in the beginning competitive stages of swimming, and she provides opportunities for her grandfather to learn as he cheers and supports her on. Recently, I had the opportunity to have some conversations with Amy Lane, who is the Executive Director of Curriculum Instruction and Professional Growth for Douglas County School District in Colorado. And as Amy and I were working together, we had a sidebar conversation to find out that we both had common connections with swimmers and seeing the impact and the learning that we can take from some of those experiences and look at them in teaching and learning in our classroom. So, Amy, thanks for being with me. And would you take a moment or two and introduce yourself a little bit? And if I get the story straight, you were a swimmer, and now one of your children is into the swimming program.
Yeah, well, I swam recreationally when I was in high school, and my children developed a deep love for it. Actually, I have three children, Creighton, Carter, and Lula, and all of them begin swimming at 4 years old. They had the amazing opportunity to work with a 37-year veteran coach named Lonnie Kerman in Des Moines, Iowa. And I was always just amazed by his dedication as a coach, his unwavering ability to identify every child by name, even in the water with a swimsuit and a cap on, and the trust that these little ones at 4 years old held for Lonnie as they took their first plunge into those icy cold waters in the wee hours of the morning. And he truly was a coach in all aspects. And he had that balance that I think a lot of our educational leaders struggle with, is that managerial aspect of coaching and being a leader. But he led with that instructional leadership for those kids that he coached. And I always stood in awe of him. So, yeah, so I still have one swimmer to date with the Colorado Stars, which is Missy Franklin's team.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. I ran across an article years ago that I used to make part of some of my teacher workshops that described the research studies that identified that success in extracurricular activities in school was frequently a better indicator of success in later life than success in the classroom was as a carryover. And here at PLS Third Learning, we built that concept into a course that we called live event learning. And that was the more that a classroom could look like a live event that was happening in the real world, the greater the likelihood that you could get to a depth of teaching. And I think that's the piece in me that gets reinforced whenever I'm at one of my granddaughter's swim events, and I pick up a way that the coach is working with the team, or the team members are working and interacting with each other. Does that kind of make sense to you?
It absolutely resonates with me. As a mother of two boys who are about 18 months apart, we would often find ourselves at these swim meets, you know, that last 7 to 10 hours a day. And lo and behold, the 53 would roll up and Creighton and Carter Lane are side by side in lanes 3 and 4, you know, battling to the death, you know, to hit that end mark. And it was always fascinating for me to watch, because Creighton, my eldest, who's the swimmer to this date, he has a beautiful stroke and he's just lovely to watch in the water. He doesn't necessarily have that competitive drive, right? And then I have Carter, who has this intense competitive spirit, but he truly looks like an egg beater in the water. But each time they were neck and neck, and we went 1 and 2 in almost every 53 for every year we crossed. They jumped out of the pool, they dove under the rope, shook hands, and each time they were met by their coach and their teammates who surrounded them to celebrate their individual swims. And I talked to Creighton a lot about his success in the pool, because the thing that I didn't tell you is he's also dyslexic. So school has been a very difficult aspect for him to enjoy. And I asked him why he loves swimming so much, and yet he still struggles in the classroom. And his response was so honest that it, you know, for a 16-year-old boy, it took me by surprise. He said, "You know, Mom, I have an individual goal that I have to focus on, and it's for me." He said, "I know the goal and the outcome, and I know what I have to do as an individual to get there." He also stated that he's coached on multiple areas of the discipline of swimming, but they all come together to reach his goal. And he said, "I'm in 7 different classes, and I don't see how they connect." And I thought that was fascinating from a 16-year-old young man to state. And I wonder, as schools, do we truly honor their individualism and how they learn differently? Do we allow them to think and problem solve in different ways? And do we help clarify the connection of education for them to reach their end goal, which is to eventually matriculate out of the system and be successful?
Yeah, so, and that end goal is made up of their partial individual goals along the way.
Absolutely.
I was amazed as I watched the swim program, and my granddaughter would qualify to compete in the bronze, and then she has a goal of making it to the silver, and then to the states, and then eventually Junior Olympics. There's always one step above the one she's currently working on. So as soon as she hits it, she automatically crosses over and begins to set that next goal. That puts the pieces together for her. So when she gets bogged down at practice, she comes back and focuses on that goal that she knows she's working on. And I think we have way too many students in our schools today who don't have a connectedness between what it is we're asking them to do from an effort standpoint and the goal that they'd want to set or drive towards for themselves.
And I think also in swimming, I'm sure your granddaughter can attest to, is she's constantly revisiting that goal and creating her personal best. You know, what is her personal best compared to her coach's best for her? You know, and analyzing the difference and how can she get there? You know, Creighton talks about that a lot, is my coach has this set for me, but my personal best is here. How can I get to that?
And then built with that, how the team supports each other on those personal best. I just got a photo sent to me from my daughter of my granddaughter hitting her last goal by 2 seconds. And the picture that I'm sent has 10 kids on the swim team leaning over the edge of the pool, screaming for her as she's approaching the wall.
There's such, you know, there's so much teaming. And do we allow that within the classroom of those kids to really gather around each other, know each other's goals, and celebrate successes and teach them to celebrate together?
So we use the word learning community in schools, but I'm hard pressed to say that I can point to those spots where I see it nearly as strong as I do when I'm at one of her swim meets.
Yeah, it's a amazing thing to witness the way they come together and really propel each other on. You know, and as the coach walks beside the pool, as those littles are swimming their first 25 and cheering the whole way. It's how we should approach how we rear our children, but also I think how we rear our teachers. We need to walk beside them.
And you kind of got a word there for administrators also. We need teachers being cheered on the same way by their colleagues in the school as well as their administrative leaders.
Absolutely.
I found an article that identified six skills that said that swimmers develop that employers are looking for. So let me read the six off to you and pick anyone out of here that jumps out at you that you want to comment on. The skills they listed were time management, teamwork, coachability, communication, work ethic, and perseverance. Any one of those you want to pick out to respond to?
You know, I'm going to go with work ethic. Having a 16-year-old who struggles in school and looking at the amount of homework he comes home at night, but yet watching him wake up at 4:30 a.m. in the morning to drive 30 minutes to hop in an icy cold pool and swim, you know, 2 to 5 miles in the morning, and then come back, shower, go to school for 7 hours, come back, do 3 hours of homework, and get back in the car to drive another 30 minutes back to that same pool, and then come home. You've got to honor that. And time management piece of that, he has to be fairly structured in his day in order to accomplish his studies and his scheduling for practices, because swimming is a demanding physical sport, but also mentally. So watching him with that balance and yet still be able to be a social kid, you know, those are two strong pieces. You know, the work ethic, I wouldn't want to jump in a cold pool at 4:30 in the morning. And to see a 16-year-old boy do that, I'm really proud of him, and he's consistent with it.
So flip that over. What do you think are the kinds of changes we need to be looking at making in a school that would cause more kids to have that experience as part of their school day?
That's an excellent question, Steve.
While you ponder a minute, I'm going to give you one that jumps out at me.
Okay.
I wonder how much your son's teachers make swimming part of his instructional day. In other words, to what extent do people know that that's the case and make the connections between the things that he's being asked to do in school and that goal? That's one that would... That's one that would jump out of me, students would be able to see more of a connection to the desires and dreams that they have outside of school being made part of the school day.
And I completely agree with that statement, Steve. I think the more their educational is personalized and individualized, like we do in a swimming pool, the more he would feel valued and relevant. He's in an amazing school with amazing teachers. But I often wonder, you know, do all students have that connection to school? And teachers have that personal connection with their kids to make school more relevant. And really, you know, as I spoke earlier, how those swim coaches coach on the different aspects of breath and stroke and shoulder placement and hip movement and kick, and put all those pieces together for one goal. If our teachers could put all of the different curriculum areas together and find a relevant connection to a goal for that child, would the work ethic improve? You know, would it be a more personalized experience for children?
Well, it would give you a reason to put in the effort.
Yeah, exactly.
The other term that jumped off of that list at me is coachability. Mm-hmm. And I think what hits me there is that it's the ability to understand being coached versus being evaluated. So the athlete receiving coaching, the performing artist receiving coaching, or let me even rephrase it, the athlete or the performing artist receiving feedback knows that the feedback is connected to coaching to encourage them to grow and reach their goal, and not evaluative. And I think if we could move more to students understanding that as teachers that are giving us feedback, that the purpose of that feedback is for our growth rather than as an evaluation of where we are.
Absolutely. And I think I spoke to you about these labs for swimmers, where they go in and they're in, you know, this clear pool, and every aspect of their stroke and their kick and their movements are analyzed, and it's real-time feedback on this video, so they can see the direct connection of the feedback they're receiving from these Olympic swimmers on their own stroke. It's specific, it's timely, it's intentional and purposeful, and those right areas for that swimmer at that time. And I wonder if we could take our teachers and give them feedback frame by frame to every element, would that improve their practice? And consistent feedback too.
And the teacher be part of having set the goal for what it is he or she wants to make happen in their classroom, so that they know that the coaching feedback they're receiving is designed to assist them in achieving that goal.
Right, that individual goal, just like that of an individual personal best for a swimmer.
Yeah.
You know, the teacher's personal best for the year.
It's been interesting. I've got 35 years now focused on peer coaching and instructional coaching with teachers, and early on, I realized the connections that I could make between the athletic realm, the performing arts realm, and the coaching of teachers, and it's only been in the more recent that I've learned to analyze it, analyze those performing arts and athletics from how it matches the work that teachers are doing with students. I thank Amy for joining me here. I'm wondering, is there any last thought that you'd like to give us here as we close out?
You know, one of the things that you and I discussed too is that idea of the underdog or the little, you know, the little four-year-old, and watching those little ones. And, you know, I equate this to, you know, some of our student teachers and our new teachers into the profession, and those swimmers who jump in for their first 25 free, right? They're scared, they're crying as they catapult into the water. You know, and you watch them clutch the ropes, you know, a quarter of the way into the race, and turn around and look to see who's there. And you said it yourself, you know, we've watched people jump in beside them to swim beside them as they nearly drown swimming that first laborious 25 yards. And what should have taken maybe under a minute for a four-year-old, maybe up to 4 minutes. And at the end of that, that person beside them pushes them out of the water. So they have that success. And the whole crowd stands up and cheers for that struggle and that perseverance to make their goal. And I think the more we think of and make that correlation between our new teachers and even our veterans, the more successful we can be if we really rally around them and push them toward their personal best.
So I've always said that one of the reasons I valued peer coaching programs in a school is that a teacher has somebody to celebrate with. It can be a pretty lonely spot in that classroom by yourself and working hard. And then when you finally have the success, there's nobody there to cheer you on. So as much as we need to create that opportunity for the students in our school, we need to create it for the staffs. And I must say we need to create it for the building principals as well, because that can be one of those loneliest spots in a school.
I think, you know, education and what we do for a living is more like a relay. And we have to rely on each other to bring their personal best to win the race,
neat,
whatever that race may be.
Neat connection. Well, Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.